Please open your Bibles to John 13. Begin reading there in just a moment. John 13. Good to be with you. I'm happy to have my wife Vicki make the trip with me and to be with all of you this week. We know some of you, and so glad to see you again and to get acquainted with others that we haven't met before, but we are part of a large family, family of God. Before we begin this reading in John 13, there's a song that's in your supplement book entitled Servant Song. I'd like for us to begin with the singing of this song.
Make me a servant just like your son, for he was a servant. Please make me one. Make me a servant. Do what you must do to a servant, make me like you. Make me a servant, take all my pride, for I would be lowly, humble inside. Make me a servant filled by your mind, and may all my labors shine with your light. Show me your footsteps and what I should do, for now and forever, make me like you.
The lesson from John 13, beginning with verse 1, describes to us of having the servant's heart of our Savior. We read here, beginning in verse 1, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no part with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you.' For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, 'You're not all clean.' So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Some denominations practice foot washing as part of their worship service to God. But foot washing was never done as an act of worship to God in the New Testament. Foot washing was done as an act of service to man. It was the mark of a godly widow in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 10. But Jesus is here talking to his apostles about their conduct toward one another. You notice what Mark had recorded here in Mark 9 verse 33, that when Jesus came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down, he called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." He was teaching them, these 12 men, about the importance of serving. That greatness in his kingdom would not consist of ruling, but serving. When we look at Jesus here, he is the example of service, the standard to follow. He stooped as the Son of God to wash feet. He found contentment and fulfillment in doing that. He rendered it a privilege and a joy to serve these men. We should emulate. We should be willing to serve. You know, people today are so unhappy. Many people are unhappy. And one reason I believe that people are so unhappy is because they're so wrapped up in themselves. Self-centeredness. And that was the problem of these men that were following Jesus, that would carry on his work following his time here with them. And when we compare their demeanor with that of Jesus, what a contrast we see here. They were fussing who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Luke records for us in Luke 22 verse 24, "Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. They were in competition with one another." If we would learn service, happy are we, as he was trying to teach them as well. There's some things that Jesus knew. When we look at verses 1 through 3 of John 13, one thing we see in verse 1 is that Jesus knew that his time on earth was winding down. He wasn't going to be on earth much longer. But he also knew of his enemies, who they were. Even one of his own, Judas. And he knew the Sanhedrin council was out to get him as well, as they had been threatening him for a number of years during his ministry. But he also knew his identity, that he was from God, God in the flesh. But one thing we see here that he really knew, he knew there was an attitude among these 12 men that needed to change. That they were feuding over greatness. He couldn't have that continue any longer. And with all that in mind, he looked beyond, due to his love for them to the end. And I believe that we find here the heart of a servant in Jesus himself. This type of service doesn't worry about my rights. We hear a lot today about rights. People have their rights. And we hear of lawsuits occurring all the time, daily, of people taking one another to court because they feel that their rights have been violated. But this type of service might have to stoop to others' problems. You know of people in your own life who are dealing with things that are very difficult. And there may be those of you that are dealing with things yourself. And someone may be willing there, hopefully, that will come to you and say, "You know what, I want to be there for you." In other words, we may have to stoop to others' problems and get grime and dirt and filth on our hands. Our feet might get dirty. My supper might get cold. The service we offer to God and to others must be with the proper spirit of doing the will of God from the heart. The Bible teaches in Ephesians 6, verse 5 through 7. The Apostle Paul writing says, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." We also find in Romans 12, verse 10 through 11, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." One of the founding fathers of our nation, Benjamin Franklin, was asked one time to define the American religion. And I'll just give you part of his definition. But the number one thing he said was, "There is a God." And then he went on to say, "And the best way to serve God is to serve people, to serve others." And there's a song that we sing, number 92 in your hymnal, entitled "Others," based upon Philippians 2 and verse 4, where the Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Oh, me so, Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Others, Lord, yes, others. Let this my motto be, help me to live for others, that Another thing about this type of service is that it doesn't expect to be served in return. We have a tendency that when we do something for someone, we kind of expect them to return the favor, don't we? We're used to the trade-off system. But that wasn't the case with Jesus here in John 13. No one washed his feet that day. I don't read of that at all in this reading, do you? He didn't ask for it. And if he had asked for it, that would not have been service. He was doing this without expecting anything in return. He sought, you know what, to start a trend, to start a pattern. That's what we read in John 13, verse 15. He says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." This type of service doesn't wait for others to begin. It goes first. It doesn't wait. Jesus was the only one that we read of that got up to serve, to wash these men's feet. Imagine all the rest of them sitting around there fussing with each other because they're competing with one another. And no one notices Jesus getting up with those towels and that water basin and walking around and stooping down to wash their feet. They're all too busy. Concerned about themselves. I think I hear this a lot today among our brethren. When people will say, you know, we ought to do something. Somebody ought to do this. Or somebody ought to do that. Somebody ought to greet the people as they walk in and follow up. Someone ought to put the books back in the rack, the pew rack for the psalm books, you know, after we're done, so we don't leave all this clutter. Those are good ideas. And the one who will come up with many of these ideas is not planning at all doing it themselves. Kind of expect somebody else to do it. We have a lady back home, 87 years old, Ernestine. You don't want to ride with her, I'll tell you that. I was coming down Highway 175 out of Dallas one day, and there was a red car went flying by me. And I looked over and took a double take. It was Ernestine. She was about 82 at the time. But Ernestine is this type of lady that just is always looking for things to do. We had a work day a few weeks ago, and I went out and got some water and had some things there in a ice chest. But you know what? That lady came up later with a whole ice chest full of soda and water for everybody that was working down around the building that day. She said, "Well, I can't really get out and do the things you all are doing, but I can do something." When I came there 13 years ago, we began having a bulletin every week. She had asked me, "Would you make up about 25 or 30 extra copies? Because I would like to go down to the nursing home right after service and start handing them out to people that can read them there at the nursing home." She has done that every Sunday, except back earlier in the year when we had a really bad day and we had lost our power. We couldn't put a bulletin out for that Sunday, but we were out of power for about 2 days from an ice storm that we had. But she has taken bulletins to these people every Sunday. 87 years old now. And when she's done at the nursing home, she runs out into the county and she's handing them out to people that she knows out in the country. Always looking for, and no one asked her to do that. She just did it. And then we noticed about 2 or 3 years ago where someone left the water on one time in one of the restrooms, and water would just kept running all afternoon. And she came in that evening and saw the water running. She said, "You know, I think I'll stay around after service and be sure that everything's turned off, that there's no water running." And she'll go into the nursery Sunday morning after services and gather up even the dirty diapers and take them across the street, put them in the dumpster. 87 years old. No one asked her to do that. She doesn't wait for others to begin. She gets up and does it. What a good example. But Jesus did that. She's following the example of Jesus, of what we read here in John 13. And I'll tell you something else. Anyone can look around and see things that need to be done. But the servant just doesn't look. They do it. And they'll serve alone if necessary. Jesus did not request anyone to help him. I don't see Peter getting up and helping him out. My enthusiasm can cool if no one likes my ideas. You know, you may come up with an idea and say, "You know, I think this would be really good if we would do this." And you're trying to get other people to join in with you and say, "Let's do this together." And then maybe you don't get the excitement. And then you begin to feel a little bit like hurt. And then all of a sudden you begin to think, "You know, they don't appreciate my ideas. I think I'll just quit. Or forget that. Here, I tried to help and do something and nobody wants to help me." This kind of servant's heart that Jesus is describing here doesn't quit when others don't share my enthusiasm. It keeps working even alone. What is our motivation? Our motivation is to please God, isn't it? His example. I'll serve even if no one else is going to serve. And I believe this type of service will work. And he did too. This type of service doesn't expect a favorable response, a pat on the back, or recognition. Matter of fact, I remember a few years ago, some of the ladies wanted to give this Ernestine, just give her a lunch one Sunday after service and say, "You know, let's honor her for her example." She said, no, you don't need to do that because I got to get to the nursing home. I got things to hand out here." I said, "No, you can wait for at least 30 minutes, Ernestine, while we recognize you." But she didn't do it for that reason. I think she deserved it, and we all did. But the apostles here did not understand about this at all. Peter objected to it. But so often we are looking for that compliment. Sometimes we fish for that compliment. I learned early when I started preaching in 1990, just to give you a little bit of background about myself, I spent about 18 years working for the Santa Fe Railroad in California, Kansas, Texas, and New Mexico before I went into full-time preaching. And so I got 3 daughters, and the oldest was 12 at the time. And there were lessons that I was preparing for each week. And I wanted to do a good job with them. And I really wanted to hear the compliments from my family and even from the members, which didn't always happen. And there was one particular lesson that I did that one Sunday evening when I came out to the car and Vicki got in the car with me, I knew I had not done my best. And she said, "That lesson you did tonight," now our daughters weren't in the car with us, which I'm glad they weren't, but Vicki said, "I don't think I would do that lesson again." And I said, "Well, and before I could say another word, she said, "Matter of fact, you see that trash can right there in front of the car? I think I would put it in there." I said, "No, Vicki, no, wait a minute." I thought after about 15 minutes, it finally began to take off like a plane going down a runway. I've been down a runway a lot of times on a plane, and sometimes it will lift quickly, and sometimes that plane will take almost the entire runway before the plane will lift. And I said, "I feel like that sermon finally lifted." She said, "Well, it lifted. You left me on the ground." And I told my dad that story. He had been preaching at the time for about 45 years at the time. And I said, "Dad, this is what happened." And he said, "Well, where'd you get the lesson?" And I said, "It was one of yours." That was the end of that discussion about that particular sermon. But you know what I was doing? I was really fishing for a compliment. But this type of service is not looking for someone to give me a favorable response. Some may not recognize what we're doing, or may be critical, and some won't care. And they won't say thank you. But our response should be, "I'm going to serve anyway." And Jesus did, even when his apostles did not understand. What did he say? "What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." That's what he told them there in that reading in John 13, verse 7. This type of service is not reserved just for my friends. We'll read here in Matthew 5 in just a minute or two. Matthew 5, verse 43. Keep in mind that in this group was one who had betrayed Jesus, Judas. And yet Jesus was even willing to wash the feet of a traitor, of a man who was going to step up in the Garden of Gethsemane and plant a kiss of betrayal on him. And Jesus was willing to wash even his feet. He elevated his enemies who pretended to be his friends. He washes the feet of Judas as he did the feet of James and John and Matthew and Peter and James. And we too must be willing to serve our enemies. Ooh, that's hard. In Matthew 5, notice in this Sermon on the Mount, or what was taken from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, Matthew 5, verse 43, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? And therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." In Romans 12, verse 17 through 21, again, from God's word we read where Paul, the inspired writer writing to the brethren at Rome in Romans 12, verse 17, "Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. And therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There were times when I would come home from school and I'd be upset with someone. Maybe a teacher, excuse me, or maybe one of my fellow classmates. Something had been said. And my mother would say, "You've got to take on a different attitude than they are showing." My mom said, "Be kind. Be gentle. Heap coals of fire on their head." And I said, "Mother, if I could, I would." She said, "That's not what I'm talking about. There's got to be a different spirit, a different attitude among us." And we see that on the part of Jesus. It's hard to serve a pretender. And Judas was pretending to be a follower. One who appears to be with us, yet plotting against us. But he stoops to the hypocrite. Maybe they come around. Maybe they don't. But we can see the good that can come from this. Others will notice. And let me take this a little bit beyond this. I also learned from this what God in Christ has done for me. And what he's done for you. He went to a cross and shed his blood so that we can have our sins removed, cleansed. He stoops to wash the grime of sin off of me. A song that we have sung throughout for many years. Are you washed in the blood? Oh, so me. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His great desire? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, for they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And then the last point that I want to bring out from this reading: this type of service will make you look like a servant and be treated like one. Look at the scene. Jesus in this room washing these men's feet. If you were to walk in that day not knowing who these men were, and someone was to ask you, identify who the servant is, you would say, "Well, the fellow that's on his knees stooped down washing feet is a servant." He looked like a servant. And when you practice this, don't be surprised to be treated like one. Don't be surprised to be questioned or criticized. You missed a spot. Sometimes brethren can be so rude to one another when someone is really trying to do something that's good and serving. And when you take on this servitude, you'll be expected to do everything. But that's okay. You won't always be appreciated. But that's okay. Who are you out to please anyway? It's God. But when you adopt the role of a servant, we must be prepared. This type of service, the blessing is in doing it. That's where happiness is found. In John 13, verse 17, here's what he said. In closing, he said, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Happy are you if you do them. True contentment will follow. There's a lot of things on my mind these days. There's a lot of things on your mind. We have things that are going on right now in our lives. Whether it be school, a test coming up, or a test you just took, wondering how you did on it. Family, sickness, whatever. There's a lot of things on our minds. And it's so easy to think about me and what I am dealing with in my own life. But when you think about Jesus, when He said this to those men, and He did what He did, He had weightier matters on His mind. Right around the corner, He's getting ready to get hit hard, which we're going to take into the next hour this morning. His crucifixion and the events leading up to that. No one thinking about Him. They're just thinking about themselves. And yet He was thinking about man. And when I think about it, God thinks about you when you don't think about Him. One more song. I believe our time is just about to conclude here. But I really like this song, The Longer I Serve Him. We'll sing one verse of it, and then we'll conclude our class this morning. The Longer I Serve Him. Oh, so since I started for the kingdom, since my life He controls, since I gave my heart to Jesus, the Lord. The sweeter He grows, the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows, the more that I love Him, more love He bestows. Each day is like heaven, my overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Thank you.